What's up, guys? It's Matt Prince here. This is the Matt Prince Podcast. Welcome back for another episode. Today's topic is this: train or test. So I'm going to give you guys a few straight up training podcasts over the next few podcasts, unless I come up with a great insight, a great idea. But I thought I'd dive into some training stuff and get you guys a little bit clearer on why we do what we do for you Royal Fitness humans. And then for anybody else, I'm going to basically tell you why you should train how we train, because it's superior. As arrogant as that may sound, the people that we have doing the work and progressing in training are getting good results. So I'm happy to back it with my own confidence behind it. So anyway, training or testing. Now, I am a huge, huge fan of a gym called Westside Barbell. Westside Barbell, a guy called Louis Simmons, he's a complete psychopath, with all due respect. I don't mean that in a negative way. I actually really love him. And not love, but like, I follow everything he does. And I find him really, really cool. Anyway, so he has a gym called Westside Barbell. He's made the conjugate system a famous thing. It's not something he come up with, but basically what it's based off is rotating exercises to build strength in certain portions and certain lifts, right? Now, he's a powerlifting coach, so his main focus is squat, bench, dead. I am not a powerlifting coach, although I have powerlifters, and everybody that we train gets stronger, like dramatically stronger over time, like, and their body becomes harder, stronger, you know, more muscular. They perform better, they jump faster, and they run faster, and they do everything. Everything gets a little bit better. But I take bits of what Louis does and apply that into the performance side of things, because I don't actually want a gym full of fat powerlifters. Like, it's not something that I'm interested in. I like people who can squat, bench, dead heavy. I like seeing that. But I also like it when they can, you know, snatch a heavy kettlebell and do pull-ups for, you know, 10 to 20 reps, and do push-ups and sprint on a sled and do sprints outside and do jumps onto a box really, really high. Like, I think that's a complete athlete, right? I think the idea behind being able to sort of adapt, be like a bit of a chameleon and adapt to different sports and adapt to different modalities, I think that's really, really key. If you want to become a well-rounded athlete, if your goal is just powerlifting, there's still a lot. Like, what we do helps powerlifters get stronger, because it's something that they're not used to. So a lot of the time, like the explosive work that we do and the connectivity work that we do, they say like a kettlebell snatch or a kettlebell swing, that usually helps a lockout for a squat or a deadlift. It helps people get stronger in that way, and helps their explosiveness when they're trying to get more power through a bench, because their bodies just get more explosive. They become more useful. All right. So there's a lot of pros to that, and generally they'll lose body fat. If they're eating good, they'll lose body fat on our method and keep their muscle or gain extra muscle, and then they'll progress rapidly there. So it just sort of works. So the stuff, anyway, back to it, the stuff that I have taken from Louis in the conjugate method is the idea of builders and testers, okay? So training and testing. Now, if we were to look at the bench press and the squat and the deadlift as the three main lifts, the way I look at them is I look at them as a exercise that we can do, you know, usually we max out say 2 to 3 times a year in terms of a one rep max. It's usually twice a year, usually mid-year and at the end of the year, and that's when we test if our form's better, if we're stronger, you know, if we can lift more weight, and we compare that to the last year. So like one of the boys, for example, he lifted similar weights to what he lifted last year. He actually added, I think he was added like 10 or 15 kilos per lift, to be fair, but he lifted similar sort of weight, but he lost 10 kilos, and the weights that he lifted was with way better form. So I class that as a huge win, a huge successful year for him. And he did too, and it's awesome, right? You can't get into the mindset of like, oh, I could lift 130 kilos on the bench press, but I've lost 25 kilos, and now I can only lift 120, so I'm weaker. That's not true, because you've lost a lot of weight, so your power to weight ratio is going to be a lot better. You'll be able to do pull-ups, you'll be able to jump higher. So a lot of performance things happen. So don't get caught up on, if you've gained muscle and lost body fat, don't get caught up on, your numbers, because you got to remember why you got into the game in the first place. But that's a topic for another day. So you've got these testers and builders. Let's take a bench press, for example. the bench press is our tester. So we do a full bench press, start from the top, come all the way, touch your chest, come out. We don't do, for the non-powerlifters, for the powerlifters, I definitely get them to do the pause, like the comp style bench where they pause for a second and drive out if they're testing it. But if they're not testing it, touch and go is fine in my gym. I don't care. Why? Because they're not powerlifters, right? So like, as long as they test next time with touch and go, it's completely fine, right? It doesn't matter. And within that, if their hips come off the bench, I'm not going to throw a hissy fit. I'm not going to say that didn't count. I'm just going to look at next time, did they improve that, right? There's a lot of reasons for that. With heavy weights, what heavy weights do is, especially when you're in that max realm, if you can hit, say, like one of the boys last night nailed a 200 kilo deadlift, absolutely fucking killed it, Shawnee Gilbert, he smashed it. He hit a 200 kilo deadlift like it was fast, and then he did a 210 and he had to hitch it and grind it at the end, like it was a really slow lockout for him, and you know, his upper back rounded and he had to like bounce his hips up a little bit to get it through. Now, people will see that video and be like, oh, he's got bad form, or it was too heavy, or it's too slow. Now, how the fuck are we meant to know if it's too heavy if he doesn't try it, right? He does it once a year or twice a year. He's going to max out like that. And in his case, it was only once a year. And when he was hitting that lift, there's no way I was going to say drop it, like, because it wasn't that bad. Like, he literally got it to above like mid thigh, and then he hitched it at the end, like a strongman competitor would hitch it, right? So people will see that and be like, ah, oh, they deadlift with bad form, or they deadlift with that. But up until that one lift, it was perfect. Up until that one lift, his shoulders were locked right back, his glutes were firing through on the way through. But now we know his threshold. We know that his max limit is, like, with perfect form, I'd say it's about 205. With a grind, he's probably about 215, because he could have gone up again. But I said, no, that's you know, that's a form breakdown. Let's stop there. So we know now rough capacity. So in 6 months' time, we can compare him. And if he hits a 210 with perfect form and then grinds out a 220, we know he's stronger, right? So how do we look at a deadlift? How do we break down? I like to break him down into parts. So with Sean, I could see that his lockout was sagging. Like, his lockout wasn't as powerful as his off the floor. So I'm not going to sit there and try and get his off the floor faster, although we'll still get faster, but I'm not going to focus directly on that. I was encouraging him, and this happened even a few weeks ago when I had first noticed it, I was encouraging him to hit heavy kettlebell swings, start getting that explosiveness in the hip lockout and the hip drive, and build the glutes and hammies and lower back and core and all of those muscles using heavy kettlebell swings and getting the power up through there. So I was like, okay, cool, let's use the kettlebell swing to build the deadlift, right? And then let's use barbell rows to build his upper back up for the deadlift, so his shoulders don't want to round forward, right? And let's use trap bar deads as an exercise to help build his lockout, because we can overload it a little bit and he's not working off the ground as heavy, so he's going to have heavier weight and he can practice that locked in back and just stand up with it. And then let's look at some other things that we can use. It might be like a kettlebell snatch to start increasing like just his general speed and power. All right, so you can start to see all these exercises, they're going to be the builders for that deadlift. Yes, we're going to do deadlifts. Yes, we're going to do Romanians. We're going to do specific things for it. But the things, like, for him, like Louis Simmons calls them the special exercise. He actually says spatial exercises. And he's like, I got this, I can't do it well. But he's got this, like, this Ohio American voice saying, we can do special exercise. We do two sets of 20, two sets of 40. And he talks like this, and he's really intense. But with these special exercises, that's what's going to take his lifting to the next level. So now that we can see the breakdown, we can start to apply these special exercises in training modalities to get there. And then in 6 months' time, we test again. We're like, oh, or 3 months, whatever it is, whenever we hit that maxes again or get close to it, we start to see, hey, look, this is where he's breaking down. This is where his form needs to improve. This is where the muscles need to improve. And we can start to work on that. Okay, a lot of people get so caught up in hitting the same thing and practicing squat bench dead to get their dead up. Now, I don't squat with a barbell ever. I don't. And the reason for that is because my shoulders don't like it. So I use a safety bar. Although if I was to start squatting with a barbell, because of the safety bar work that I've done and the, you know, cambered bars and stuff that I use that allow my shoulders not to hurt when I do that, because of those lifts, that doesn't mean my squat's gonna, like, they're things building up my squat. Right, so they're things that I'm gonna go and I'm gonna squat. If I was to get back on a straight bar and start getting my shoulder mobility back and all of that sort of stuff, my squat will have gone up because I've trained it to go up. I've trained strength, just general strength. Right, a lot of people don't realize and you might have not have thought about this, but the body just adapts to what stimulus is put on it. So like your body is, your strength's measured in time, not in weight or not in exercise. Okay, so if you're grinding through a heavy, it might be a safety squat bar, low box squat, right? If you're grinding through that, that's gonna build strength in your body. And more specifically from that, it's gonna build up your hamstrings, your glutes, your lower back and your upper back. And that's probably gonna be the main ones off a low box squat, right? Maybe some quad in there, maybe some adductor, but mainly like on a low box, the way we do them, we sit right back. So it's gonna be hamstrings, glutes, lower back, upper back, bit of core. Okay, so doing that, that's gonna build up your strength. It's gonna build up your strength and your power in that pattern for your lower body. That's gonna help squat, it's gonna help deadlift, it's gonna help lunges, it's gonna help single leg work, it's gonna help jumping, because it's just adding extra strength to the body. It's gonna add extra ability to produce more force. Okay, so don't get too caught up in the actual exercise. That's just something that you need to think about. Now, if we start to take this across to all exercises, we go back to training versus testing. If you're somebody who's always maxing out, if you're somebody who doesn't adhere to training things and you're always maxing out, now I'm happy for you to max out often. Like the Westside Barbell Method has a max effort day every week. And we, in a way, at Royal Fitness have a max out effort every week. And it would be classed in, when I say max out, it would be percentages of 85 to 100%. We would do something every week, but we're switching it up to keep it safe. We're not maxing out on the same lift. If you're maxing out on the same lift, like I have this thing with deadlifts, I spent so long trying to max out on the same lift. So every time I get to that same weight and I know where I've failed in the past, my head just goes, fuck you, you failed this in the past, so you can't do it now. And I see this happen with a lot of people. But if I spend a lot of time doing different lifts, it might be through, off a deficit, off a block pull, off a trap bar, whatever, sumo. If I start practicing in different lifts and different modalities, but around that and using box squats and other things, and I grind through them and max out on them, my body doesn't really, my mind doesn't go, oh shit, you suck at deadlifts, you can't do it now. It goes, oh, it's just getting stronger, you adapt to the stimulus and you go. And when you're switching it regularly, you won't get those overuse injuries, you won't get the neural fatigue. If you program in proper rest and if you program in proper deloads, you won't get that like drained, or it's called neural fatigue, but you won't get like that sapped out, burnt out feeling. You'll just get stronger over time, right? And then if you start to feel like you're going backwards and you start to feel slow and heavy and stuff like that, you just take an easier night, you back it down and then you go again. That's a way you can max out all the time. Okay, and that's essentially what we've built into our small group stuff. We definitely do hypertrophy blocks where their main focus is just building muscle. But on most of our programming, we like to lift something heavy to keep the strength progressing all year round. And that way we never detrain. Okay, one issue that a lot of things have, like people talk about, for you guys that have heard of linear periodization, which is basically each week you add a little bit of weight and the reps might go down. That's called linear periodization. Now, within that game, what happens a lot of the time is people don't gain much strength. They might gain size, but they sort of detrain, I find. Okay, so what I find is, like, if you're spending, say, 6 to 8 weeks building muscle, just building hypertrophy, and you're doing sets of 8 to 12, and you're not really handling anything heavy, you're gonna find it really hard to lift something really heavy when you get back to it. But if you're lifting something heavy and you're cycling it in and you're doing it most weeks, and you're adding the hypertrophy stuff after that through like that special exercise or spatial exercises work, like Louis would say, and you might be hitting your muscle building stuff through dumbbell presses, through, you know, push-ups and all the safer exercises that aren't gonna grind out your joints, that's a really smart way to do it. Okay, so we look at it, we go, all right, cool, we're gonna lift something heavy and we're gonna train this. We're not gonna test it every week. We're not gonna do the same testing exercise. We're gonna do exercise that will help build up that thing that we want to test in the future, and we're going to practice it. We're going to build up weak points. We're going to put ourselves in positions where we're not that great. Okay, don't avoid the things that you're not great at, because that's the thing you probably need to train the most. Okay, now as we do that, then we go, all right, cool, that was really, really hard. This is where we're breaking down in form. It might be, all right, my upper back's not very strong, so the special exercise, the hypertrophy work that we do after that, will be based around those things. It'll be based around that upper back to pull the shoulders back. It'll be based around the glutes to push the hips through on the deadlift. It'll be based around your core just to basically get a stronger core, right? Or triceps to have your better lockout, whatever it is. Okay, there's heaps of this stuff, and I'm gonna be going into some of this over the next few days. If you have any specific questions on how to get something up, just message me, I'll do a whole podcast on it. If you go, hey, look, my lockout sucks on my bench, what do I do? I can tell that, because that's what we do basically when people fail a lift. I'll tell them, hey, this is what you did wrong. All right, this is what you need to work on. One of the boys last night, his left knee kicks in, he's got a dodgy left hip, so like his game's going to be getting his lunges up and getting like glute walks and stuff like that, which we'll build into the program. And essentially, like over time, if you're patient with this and you're willing to train instead of test, you will progress a lot faster and you'll progress a lot safer long term. Because if you just test all the time, you'll get injured. You'll fail reps, you'll get injured, you get pissed off, and it becomes really shitty game, right? And that goes in all sports. Now, my question for you, if we start to apply this across the board, where in your life are you testing all of the time instead of training and building your skills to improve that thing that you want to test? And part two to this, what's step one that you can do to, what's the step, the next step that you need to train and the next skill you need to acquire to make that test in your life improve faster? Apply that question across the board. Let's apply that to your body, apply that to your mind, apply that to your relationships, apply that to your business, your career. Where in your life are you testing instead of training? Guys, I hope that helps out in some way. If you have any questions, please hit me up. If you have any specifics on training things, just let me know. Ask me some questions. I am a trainer. I don't talk on the podcast like I am, but I'm going to be starting to do that. So if you need any help, just shoot me a message. I'm happy to do it. I am more than happy to, anytime. All right, I'll talk to you all soon. Have a great day. Bye.